morning. Welcome to worship at Good Shepherd this sixth Sunday of Easter. It is a joy for us to be together in worship today. I direct your attention to the announcements at the back of the bulletin, particularly if you or someone in your family is a graduate of any kind, please let us know in the church office so we can celebrate that with you all and publish that in the June newsletter. Also, a happy Mother's Day to those of you who are celebrating this day. For those of you for whom this day is difficult for various reasons, we are here together to get through it together. At this time, let us begin our worship together, confessing our sin and receiving God's forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you. Chains from
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, you have prepared for those who love you joys beyond understanding. Pour into our hearts such love for you that, loving you above all things, we may obtain your promises which exceed all we can desire, through Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. A reading from Acts. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited him to stay for several days. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Psalm.
Shout with joy to the Lord, all ye. of the earth have seen the victory of our God.
Shout with joy to the Lord, all you lands. Lift up your voice, rejoice and sing.
Shout with joy to the Lord, all you lands.
Sing to the Lord with the harp and the voice of song.
With trumpets and the sound of the horn, shout with joy before the King the Lord.
Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity.
Shout with joy to the Lord, all you lands.
A reading from 1 John. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the parent loves the child. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey His commandments. For the love of God is this, that we obey His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome, for whatever is born of God conquers the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, our faith. Who is it that conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with the water only, but with the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one that testifies, for the Spirit is the truth. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I invite all of our children to share a moment with me now, as always. I want to talk to you about baptism today. In our first reading, we heard a story about a man whose name we didn't hear there, but it was a man named Cornelius and his family whom Peter baptized. When someone is baptized, it means that water is sprinkled or poured over them. And as that happens, God promises to always love and lead that person. Baptism is how we become part of God's family and part of the church. And what made Cornelius' baptism so strange is that Cornelius was from a very different place. He was of a different race than Peter and the rest of the people that came with Peter. Cornelius and his family were different, and some people thought they wouldn't fit in, but God gave them the gift of the Holy Spirit, just like God gave the Spirit to Peter and the others. And God's promises to them in baptism were the same as God's promises to Peter and the others. When you were baptized, God promised to always love and lead you too. And in your baptism and in mine, as different as we may be, as similar as we may be, no matter what, God reminds us that God's love is for everybody. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for giving us the gifts of baptism and the Holy Spirit. Thank you for loving us and leading us. Help us to welcome others, even when they are different, just as Peter and the others welcomed Cornelius and his family. Amen. We're often a little bit casual about the ways that we use the terms friend and love. Maybe part of that, at least in recent days, is the social media phenomenon of having friends who aren't always actually friends. If you're anything like me and you use social media, maybe you have some people that Facebook says are your friends that might be more accurately called acquaintances. None of you fit that category for me, I assure you, but I think you know what I mean. A person that I barely remember from high school doesn't have quite the same status in my mind as a fellow church member or my best friend or someone whom I see and spend time with often. But they all get lumped together as friends as far as social media is concerned. In the same way, we can be rather careless with the term love. That same word we use to pledge marriage vows or talk about how we feel about those who are closest to us is often the very same word we use to describe a food or beverage that we've just enjoyed or some other inanimate object or item that we appreciate. I love this or that is an easy shorthand way to express approval, but if we use it too often, the word love loses something when we then in turn use it to refer to someone we truly value and adore. Jesus' words to us today challenge us to reconsider the careless ways we often think about friendship and love. The word friend that Jesus uses here finds its root in the Greek verb philos, meaning to love. It's where we get words like philosophy, the love of wisdom, or Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. This word doesn't just mean friend. It means someone dearly loved and prized in a personal and intimate way. It can mean a trusted confidant or one who is held dear in a close bond of personal affection. Who in your life do you treasure and value in this way? Perhaps it's an old, dear friend. Perhaps it's a spouse or a sibling, a parent or a grandparent. In any case, I can pretty much guarantee you it's not somebody that you just met. It's not someone with whom you never interact, someone you never see, because the kind of friendship Jesus is describing that I've just talked about is based in large part on shared experience over the course of time. this kind of trust is gained spending time with another person. I invite you to imagine in your mind's eye that dear, trusted, intimate friend you know so well. This is the term Jesus uses to refer to his disciples, and by extension to us. The life and love Jesus came to live and share with his disciples has moved them from the status of servants to the status of confidants, close friends, loved ones. Even more than that, by the end of this gospel, Jesus will call these same people his very own siblings, sisters, and brothers, fellow children of God the Father. Just as John told us way back in John chapter 1, to all who believed in Jesus, he gave power to become children of God. What an incredible gift to know that Jesus looks at us and sees intimate friends, dearly loved ones. We all share this powerful bond, not just with Jesus, but with one another, because his love has not only drawn us to him, it has drawn us together into this body, this congregation. Some of you have one or more close, intimate friends here in this place because Christ has drawn you here and has drawn us together. And what God wants for us is that we all share this closeness as dear friends of Jesus and of one another. And that brings us to the second term I mentioned at the beginning of this sermon, love. We may, as I said, sometimes be flippant in our use of this term, but the way Jesus uses it in our gospel today is quite specific. The type of love he's talking about centers on the will of God. To love in this sense is to focus not on our own preferences, but on God's preference, God's will. Jesus did just this when he laid down his life for these dear friends, saying to God the Father, "Not my will, but yours be done." By contrast, the way we often use the term love, it's often all about our own wants, our own needs, our own preferences. But it's a far more difficult thing to discern and enact God's will rather than our own. The early church had to do this on numerous occasions. In fact, read through this lens, the whole book of Acts really centers on this struggle. The church's discernment of God's will and the church's continuing struggle to follow and obey God's will. We see that very clearly in our first lesson today. Unfortunately, we only get the tail end of this remarkable story, and I strongly encourage you to read it in its entirety, all of Acts chapter 10, as part of your devotional reading this week. But I'll sum it up for you now. Peter, up until Acts chapter 10, resisted efforts by Paul and some of the other apostles to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. But then Peter had a vision. In his vision, he saw a great sheet descending from heaven filled with all sorts of unclean animals, animals that Jewish people like Peter were forbidden to eat. God's voice spoke to him in the vision, commanding Peter to get up and eat those unclean foods. Peter refused, but he heard a voice from heaven say, "Do not call impure that which God has made clean." This happened three times. Shortly thereafter, he encountered a Gentile man named Cornelius, who was a Roman centurion. Cornelius was led to Peter by the Holy Spirit, and the same Spirit led Peter to share the good news about Jesus with Cornelius and his whole household. And that's where we pick up in our reading today. While he's still in the middle of this testimony about Jesus, the Spirit came upon those Gentiles, and Peter and the Jewish believers who were accompanying him were shocked to see that God was giving his blessing to this event. Peter discerned God's will seemed to be to pour out the Spirit even on the Gentiles. Thus he baptized those first converts to Christianity. We also miss the end of this story, which comes in Acts chapter 11. Peter returned to the Jewish Christians in Jerusalem, and there he took a lot of heat from them about his decision to baptize the Gentiles. But Peter testified it was not his will to do this, but God's. That is an act of love in the same way Jesus describes love. Because Peter laid down his life, his reputation, his respectability, his arguments, and his reason in order to do God's will as he discerned it. Just as Jesus laid down his life for his friends, so Peter laid down his life for his newfound friend Cornelius and all the others. He entered into relationship with those who were not like himself because God led them together and God had greater plans than Peter could yet have imagined. We too are called to lay down our lives for our friends, for one another. How are we to do this? In part by spending time together. As I said, the type of friendship Jesus describes here is not easily or quickly formed. It is hard earned through shared experience. And we are to stick together on this journey of faith as friends of Jesus and of one another. We also lay down our lives for one another by discerning together God's will and putting that priority above our own personal wants and needs. That is the most crucial element of our faith journey together, because that is how we are to love one another, as Jesus describes. This difficult way of love is so critical because it is so easy for us to lose sight of what Jesus is calling us to do and to be. The easy road, after all, is often to give up, to get angry, to threaten to take our ball and go home when things don't go the way we want. But we are reminded today we are not seeking our way here. We are seeking Jesus, the way, and the truth, and the life. I invite you today to recommit yourself to this way of life to which we have been called, being loved by God, learning to love one another and seek God's will, and finding ourselves in an intimate bond of friendship in this place. Most of all, I invite you to learn along with me how we can lay down our lives for one another. It is this way of living together, of loving one another, that will indeed bear good and lasting fruit. It is by this way of living together and loving one another also that Jesus says everyone will know we are his disciples. This way of the love of Jesus is mission critical for us here. And I'm very excited for what the future holds in our midst. We're beginning to emerge together from the time of pandemic, beginning to see new possibilities and a new way forward. And we must put love, God's love for us and our love for one another, at the very forefront of all we do together. Today, I am indeed honored to call you all my friends. And I'm challenged, along with you, by Jesus' call to love one another as he has loved us, laying down our lives for each other. May he continue to be our example and our guide, and may we honor and glorify him in all that we do here and all that we do out in the world as we live and love. Amen.
Silently washes their feet. show us how to serve the neighbors we have from you.
These are the ones we will serve. These are the ones we will love. For these are neighbors to us and you.
Yes, oh. We have from you.
Kneel at the feet of our friends, silently washing their feet. This is the way we will live with you.
Yes, oh, yes, oh. Fill us with your love. Show us how to serve the neighbors we have.
Let us confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Alive in the risen Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we bring our prayers before God, who promises to hear us and answer in steadfast love. Loving God, you call us to be your fruit-bearing church. Strengthen the bonds among all Christian churches. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Creating God, the earth praises you, the seas roar, and the hills sing for joy. Fill the earth with your love, so that by their song, all creatures of land and sea and sky, burrowing and soaring, may call us to join with them in praise. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Faithful Savior, you conquer the world not with weapons, but with undying love. Plant your word in the hearts of the nation's leaders and give them your spirit so that the peoples of the world may live in peace. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Caring healer, you forget no one and accompany the lonely. Be present with those who are sick or suffering, especially those on our prayer list and those whom we name now before you. Provide for those needing homes or medical care and point us towards life-changing responses to these needs in our own communities. Be with the dying. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Gracious God, as a mother comforts her child, you comfort us. Bless mothers and mothering people in our lives. Comfort those who miss their mothers. Mothers who grieve. Those who grieve because they cannot be mothers. And those who have never known a loving mother. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Gentle Redeemer, all who die in you abide in your presence forever. We remember with thanksgiving those who shared your love throughout their lives. Keep us united with them in your lasting love. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. In the hope of new life in Christ, we raise our prayers to you, trusting in your never-ending goodness and mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Take and eat. This is the body of Christ given for you. Take and drink. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. God of steadfast love, at this table you gather your people into one body for the sake of the world. Send us in the power of your Spirit that our lives bear witness to the love that has made us new in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen.
Christ is alive, let Christ join.
Hallelujah, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah.